Well, greetings to all you who are fellow representatives of a global enterprise specializing in human flourishing based on trust in and apprenticeship to Jesus from Nazareth, Israel. No, really. My directorship, I guess, at the Eastern Region level is really quite simple, even though the title goes on and on. It seems like my primary passion is just coming alongside pastors and churches and helping them succeed. That's all. And just getting to coach and just love on people and just really enjoying myself. So I appreciate the privilege of being here today with you. I told the first crowd this morning that I knew early this morning that it was going to be a good day, because as I stood in front of the mirror, I tied my tie for the first time just right. Usually it takes me 5 or 6 times. That's an indicator. God is good. And then the second thing that indicated it was going to be a good day is I only had to stop once in Alliance, just one stoplight, which is a personal best for me. Third, I knew it was going to be a good day because I was going to get to come back to Salem and see some old friends and make some new friends. So again, I'm glad I'm here. But the best part of it all is God is with us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And what we're doing here this morning makes him smile. And that's what I live for. How about you? I said God would be pleased in our lives. I'd like to tell you that probably a majority of my career over the years has been really as a chaplain, individual ministry, one-on-one. And so first it was soldiers way back in the 80s, now, and then students at Malone. And I found myself having to adjust my ministry style because these were transient groups. I mean, they could be here today and gone tomorrow. You know, a soldier could be deployed to combat or go AWOL or be thrown out of the army or whatever. Whereas, and a student would maybe flunk out or decide to transfer or they graduate. And so I found myself having to really speed up the process of getting to know more and more people if I was going to get to know them and minister to them. And so I came up with 3 good questions that I felt drive right at the heart of getting to know somebody really well and very deeply. Number one, what makes you tick? What makes you tick? And those answers that came to me usually indicated what their value system was. What gets them up in the morning? What gives them joy and energy? What gives them a buzz in life? Tells me a lot about them. Now, the second question is similar. What ticks you off? In other words, what gets your temper going right now? Right now. Again, your answer gives me a pretty good idea what your value system is. But the third question is the most important question anybody could ask anyone else, because it reveals everything else about you. You know what that question is? What comes into your mind when you think of God? What's your picture of God? A.W. Tozer, Christian Missionary Alliance pastor and self-taught theologian. He died back in the 60s. He's buried over in Akron. But he once wrote in a book, what comes into your mind when you think of God is the most important thing about you. Because what you believe about God, when you tell me what you believe about God, what you think about him, will show me how you parent, how you work, your relationship with your spouse. It will largely influence and frame your citizenship, being a neighbor, being a good church member. It will direct even how you feel and how you react to suffering and death. What you believe about God, what you know him to be, is the most important thing about you. Now, when we turn to Psalm 139, we're going to see what David thought of God, in what terms. So I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm chapter 139. And we're going to read a few verses here. I guess you've been in a mini series on this, and you've had James Talbert and Laurel Naterno. Of course, James was a former student of mine too at Malone. And one time, he always used to sit in the front row in chapel every day. And he'd come up to me one day after I preached, and he says, "Pastor Randy, you preached the horns off the billy goat." Doesn't that sound like him? And of course, Laurel, dear friend for years and years, and a deep soul. We've been good friends for a long, long time. And so anyway, my turn now in that series is verses 13 through 16. So listen up. "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book of life before one of them came to be." And let's jump down to the verse 23 and 24 at the end of the psalm. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Father, we ask now, as we open your word, that you would speak to us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Give us wisdom, give us discernment, and then give us the courage to follow through on what you teach us, so that it makes a difference in our lives and in the lives of those we interact with throughout this next week. We ask this for the glory of Christ and for our good. Amen. Now, when you open a passage of Scripture, it's very important to get to know the author. Who's writing? And why is he writing? To get to know his style a little bit. David, interesting character. I'm reminded of how he's described in Acts 13, 22, I believe it is, where it says he's a man after God's own heart, or my own heart. Well, what's a man or a woman after God's own heart look like? What do they look like? Well, I started looking at David through this psalm, and I noticed that there are about four traits. If we were to take his spiritual DNA and put it under an electron microscope and look at his DNA, what traits might emerge from that? And so I found four traits in these few verses that I think show us the heart of David, and therefore the heart of God. So I'm going to give you four words that we're going to unpack. They all start with W, easy to remember. If we were at Sesame Street, the letter of the day would be W, all right? So the first is works. The second is wonder. The third word is worship. And the fourth word, walk. All right? So, first of all, let's look at the idea of works. Now, what am I getting at there? David, beginning in verse 13 now, he's intensively and intimately and intentionally tracking God's works, his handiwork. He starts out in verse 1, "God, you are everywhere. I can't get away from you, even if I tried. Everywhere I go, you're there. You are all powerful. You know everything. You know everything." And then he goes in and spinning it based on his own body and soul. He says, "Lord, you have created my inmost being. You have woven it together." Now, the inmost being would be our souls, the intangible part of us, the spiritual side of us, because we're all spiritual and physical beings. So he has knit us together in our mother's womb. That's the body. So these words are fascinating because it has to do with someone weaving and embroidering. Those are the verbs that are used there. So imagine God weaving together our souls, knitting together our physical beings, our physical bodies. And then he just breaks forth in verse 14, "I praise you." I just praise you because I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. He's been tracking God's handiwork. Now, what about us? When we trace God's handiwork when it comes to us, How many times do we take time to just push the pause button in life and notice a cloud? Or notice a sunrise or a sunset? Maybe the stars in the sky at nighttime, to just admire, trace, track down His works. When was the last time, for instance, you stood in front of the mirror looking at yourself and said, "Wow, I am a piece of work. I am a masterpiece. I am a walking, breathing, smelling, touching, testing, tasting, hearing, seeing miracle. God, when you made me, you had an eye for excellence. I mean, you pulled out all the stops. You have such good taste. Ain't I something?" When was the last time you admired God's handiwork in you? You're allowed to do that, you know. Because you're only something because He's everything. Do you ever do that? You know, we're allowed to. We got to disregard genetic structure. We got to disregard our talents and abilities and all this and that. But no excuses. We need to all use ourselves as a reason to worship. It's legitimate. It's the real thing. David's doing it. We can do it. We ought to do it by tracking his works. Aretha Franklin died this week, the Queen of Soul. They said that she sang the way she lived, out loud and to her own beat. She loved herself. She wasn't afraid to say that. She lived it, and everybody loved it around her. I think we need to enjoy the life that God's given us in our bodies and make the absolute most of it and actually create a reason to worship. But then again, tracking God's work, remember, taking time to trace and track the work of God in Christ on the cross on a regular basis. Intentionally, intensively, to be able to understand more deeply what went on the cross for our sake. Tracing and tracking God's handiwork in creation, in the cosmos, in us, on the cross. Well, the second thing that I want to address this morning is the second word, wonder. When David was tracking God's works, it began to create wonder in his own heart. You cannot read Psalm 139 without realizing how David was caught up in the wonder of it all. The wonder. Jaw-dropping, breathtaking, speechless wonder. You know, it's been said that life is not measured by how many breaths you take, but by how many times your breath is taken away. How often you gasp. When was the last time you gasped over something that you recognized in God and His greatness and goodness in your life? Just jaw-dropping. Reading something in Scripture and the Bible just drops in your lap. Say, "Wow. Who is this God?" You know, we'll never be able to track all of God's works. Because trying to understand the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is like a flea trying to understand the internet. But we can track certain things in the cosmos, in our creation of ourselves, in life God has given us, and especially in Christ. He's given us lots to track, and then to be swept up in the wonder of it all. For instance, do you know that right now, if we were to think about our bodies, do you know that you'll breathe today about 23,000 times? Your heart's going to beat about 116,000 times. Your brain, trillions of chemical reactions are going on right now in your brain. And even more so, as you're sleeping here, just No, really, your brain, they say, is more active when you're asleep than when you're awake because it's cleansing the toxins out of your brain from the thinking process. Interesting. The brain is just a whole new area that neurologists are just beginning to unpack. The scientific research coming out on the brain is amazing. And how it links up with spiritual formation. Remember when Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. Paul knew the brain, the mind, in the role of spiritual transformation. But think about the wonder. You know, as we're sitting here right now, our hearts are beating, we're breathing, we're not even thinking about it. Or the blink of an eye, we're not thinking about it. And while we're doing that, do you know we're sitting on this little tiny speck in the Milky Way galaxy called Earth? And we're rotating at 1,000 miles an hour right now. And the Earth is revolving around the sun at 488,000 miles per hour. That's, I believe, San Francisco to D.C. in 3 minutes. And the sun is revolving around, the galaxy at 488,000 miles a second. And then there, the sun and the Milky Way galaxy is moving through space at 1.3 million miles per hour. All that's going on at the same time, we don't even notice it. Nobody's motion sick in here that I can see. We're spinning, revolving, breathing, hearts beating, eyes blinking, everything else is going on. Amazing. Amazing. Do you know that over the years that the astronomers and physicists have had to revise their estimates of the cosmos because of our telescopes and our latest technology? Where once we used to think was a star is now, we're finding out, a galaxy in and of itself. And there are 2 trillion galaxies, if you wanted to know. About 10% of those we're aware of. We've actually had some kind of study. Do you know that in the universe, they've estimated now that there are 370 sextillion, that's one with 22 zeros, I think, stars. 370 sextillion stars. That's more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on planet Earth. And one of those stars, which is just a dot of light to us, is a red supergiant. That's a species, or a classification of star that is so large, it's called a red supergiant. And if we were all to go out to Salem International Airport and climb on a 747 and fly around this red giant star at 600 miles an hour, do you know how long it'd take us? We'd get back in 1,100 years. 1,100 years to go around once. Doesn't it just take your breath away? It ought to. And then when you start connecting the dots, the wonder of Jesus Christ, who is the agent of creation. In these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom, what? He made the universe. And He's the exact representation of God's being in the radiance of His glory, sustaining, not just creating, but sustaining all things, that is, all things in the cosmos, by His powerful word. He doesn't have to lift a finger, He just speaks the word. That's our Lord Jesus. He's the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. He created all things, things in heaven, on earth, visible or invisible, whether thrones, powers, rulers, or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He's before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Colossians chapter 1. Unbelievable. That's the Lord Jesus who went to the cross for you and me. Who didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but He gave Himself up. He restrained His divine attributes and took on the appearance of a man. And being humbled, He went to death on the cross for us. That's jaw-dropping, folks. Wonder. Well, the third thing that this leads to is when our wonder from the works of God swells up in us, up and up and up, what happens? It overflows into worship. The third W, worship. What's worship? At its very core, it means to tell the truth about God. Telling the truth about God. When we gather here in corporate worship, what we're doing is absolutely important and essential and significant because we're telling the truth about God. We're singing it, we're praying it, we're preaching it, we're teaching it. We're bathing ourselves in truth so that it soaks into us and our compasses that maybe our life compasses that went south over the week comes back to true north. And we get a fine tune every Sunday morning or whenever we have worship. Because worship is telling the truth about God, and it results from the welling up of wonder. It's just spontaneous. In fact, when David says, "I praise you, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." You know, I've got a page at the back of my section of Psalms in my Bible where I write down definitions. Listen to some of these definitions of praise, all right? It's the spontaneous overflow of enjoyment, praise, or wonder. It's the voice of the soul set free. It's joyful preoccupation with God. It's inner health made audible. I like that. And here's my favorite. It's the joyful recognition that we are not the center of the universe and the grateful acknowledgement that someone else is and always will be. That's praise and worship. So as we think now of David's DNA, we've talked about him tracking God's works, which then brought in the idea of wonder of it all. And then it overflows into worship. And finally, we have the walk. It results in a walk worthy of the Lord, worthy of the name we bear. And that's what all our study of God and the cosmos and the universe and the human body ought to result in, is wonder and worship, so that it builds me up in my walk with God. And why? What's God's purpose in all of it? It's to create in us change agents, difference makers. You see, he's called us to be representatives of his kingdom, a kingdom on planet Earth that is gradually unfolding and unpacking, and it will be revealed in all of its fullness as the Lord Jesus returns. But in the meantime, we are a part of a conspiracy to displace evil with good and to make known the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So that when people watch us in our lives, as that DNA, those traits emerge in us like David, if they start asking questions as they watch your philosophy of life in action. And not only do they ask the right questions, but they start filling in the blanks by what they see in us. Yeah. That's our walk with God. So let me ask you then, as we kind of internalize this and apply it together, these four traits, these traits of spiritual DNA, alive and well in our lives? Are we taking time to press the pause button frequently to just consider the works of God all around us, from little grandchildren to our heartbeats to just whatever it might be in your life, so that it just begins to well up in wonder? And then our wonder overflows into worship, and then our worship leads us into a walk worthy of the Lord. Living out the truth to a world that needs the truth so badly. I want to close with this story. We have a pastor down in Portsmouth, Virginia. He told me this story one time. And he said that one Sunday morning, this African-American came to church with his family. And he was a naval officer because it's down by Norfolk Naval Base in Virginia. So Colby goes over to greet this gentleman and his family, and he says, "What brings you to church today?" And this naval officer, African-American, said, "Well, I came to worship with Quakers today." Colby says, "What?" He says, people don't wake up and say, well, I just want to go to worship with Quakers this morning. He says, no, really, I did. And I'll tell you why. Because he said about 250 years ago, there was a Quaker farmer, plantation owner in Virginia, who bought my great-great-great-grandfather and his family. And he could have made a lot of money if he would have sold off the kids and the wife and sold them off individually. But he didn't. He kept that family together. And he not only kept them together, but he taught them how to read and to write. He taught them the gospel. Of course, he probably learned a lot from them too. And then when that old Quaker farmer died, he left his entire estate to that slave family. And that naval officer said, that property is still in my family's name. And I vowed when I found that out, that wherever I got stationed, if I was close to a friend's church or a Quaker church, I was going to go find out what makes them tick. What makes their philosophy of life so special that that guy would do something like that for my ancestors who were then able to pass on a legacy to me? And I am who I am today and where I am today because of that Quaker farmer who lived the truth in a broken system of government and culture and slavery. But he made the most of it, and generations later are still enjoying his legacy. Friends, that's the kind of thing that should inspire us, to track the works of God so that we get filled with wonder and then we overflow into worship, and then it results in a walk worthy of the Lord and for generations to come. Let's close with just a couple of minutes of meditation, just quiet silence to internalize what's been said today through the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. And as we just think quietly now, let me ask you a couple questions to just think about. When was the last time you gasped over something that God did because of His greatness and His goodness in your life? How are we doing these days with grasping more of the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ in creation, in the cosmos, in our own bodies, through the Word of God? And then finally, what are we going to do about it? In the name of Jesus, amen. Would you stand with me as we close? I've loved being with you today, and I just want to leave you with a benediction from Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. It says, may we be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that we may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that we may come to know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's my prayer for each of us today as we leave and as we live this week for Christ. Amen.